This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to the first edition of Issues of the Environment for the new year. There are many among us who love the snow and the winter weather. There are others, like me, that move as close to hibernation as possible when the cold months set in. Most all of us do pay attention to the weather and like to at least have an idea of what's coming and when, and in all likelihood, we've certainly not seen the worst of it this season. La Nina has the potential to bring some significant snowfalls, and here to talk us through it this morning is Dr. Ashley Payne. Dr. Payne is an assistant professor in climate and space sciences and engineering at the University of Michigan, and thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Hi, David. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Well, let's start off this way. Very short answer. Should we have our boots and shovels at the ready?
Maybe.
That is always the best weather answer, isn't it? It seems to me it's been a rather mild season to this point. Is the modeling showing that we'll see more snow, perhaps more rain, or even both as we progress through the winter months?
Well, so actually the next week or so, we see pretty quiet weather. So in terms of the long term, I think there's a lot of factors in play. And, you know, with, La Nina, it's only one part of the puzzle. There's other components of the Earth system that need to be taken into account. So we can't really say that we will have a colder or wetter winter. But, you know, depending on where that storm track falls, you know, we could end up getting, some pretty cold or, a lot of snow. So, yeah.
So you mentioned that La Nina is only one piece of the puzzle. What are the other pieces that you're looking at?
Well, so, you know, if we're looking at, different components of the Earth system, you know, we have the ocean, we have the atmosphere, we have land, we have the cryosphere, you know, we have all these different components. And so when we're talking about La Nina, this is kind of, part of this large-scale coupled ocean-atmosphere pattern of variability. And it's kind of, this, beast in the room. And so the effects of La Nina, El Nino, this INSO pattern are felt very strongly. But we also have other patterns of variability that are operating as well. And then on top of that, you have, anthropogenic climate change. So all of these pieces of the puzzle come together. It's a complex picture.
Our weather conversation with Dr. Ashley Payne from the University of Michigan continues on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. So you've brought up so much stuff I want to dive into a little bit. La Nina, obviously, as you've mentioned, in full effect this year, and you called it a beast. La Nina generally means colder winters, while El Nino years tend to be a little warmer. So I'd like to better understand the difference in these two weather classifications.
Sure. Yeah. So just to explain, what this is. So basically what we see is a pattern of warming and cooling in the top part of the ocean in the tropical Pacific. And so essentially what happens here is, we have changes in the temperature in the tropical Pacific, and this actually affects the atmosphere above, which can then trigger these remote effects. So it's almost like dropping a pebble in a pond. And so that's how we can feel these effects in the mid-latitudes in the Midwest. And so with La Nina, what's happening is we're actually seeing shifts in the jet stream. So, if you ever travel in an airplane, that's why flying east is actually much better. And so essentially what...
And that's a shame. I prefer to fly west.
Yeah, no, me too. So what's actually happening is with La Nina, we are left with this big area of high pressure just south of Alaska. And this actually reduces the number of storms coming off onshore along the west coast. So places like Southern California, we're actually seeing very dry weather. They're not getting their the wet season, which is the winter season there. In the Midwest, what we're actually seeing is this storm track, kind of dipping down. We have this wavy jet, and so it's dipping down. And so depending on where we fall, if we fall kind of north of where this this kind of storm track is dipping, you know, we might get snow. If we fall south, then, you know, we might get rain. So it's,
It could be a bit of everything, or we just don't know until we get there. However, there are examples of how La Nina has impacted our region in the past, and one of the things that comes to mind is this big blizzard we had in 1978, record-setting blizzard. Is this something that is possible again this year? Major snow
entirely,
event like that?
Yeah, so, you talked, I think, in the previous question you asked about, we see this cooling with La Nina, right? And so we do see that La Nina years are cooler on average, globally average, right? But on top of that, you have this anthropogenic trend of increasing temperature, right? So the La Ninas that we're experiencing now are much warmer. So it's already warmer, but on top of that, with climate change, what we also see, another effect of climate change, is increased atmospheric moisture. And so if you have this increase in atmospheric moisture and we fall just, you know, in the right little area around that jet stream, what we might actually get is a very moist storm hit our area and dump, you know, a lot of very wet snow on Ann Arbor.
I could certainly make a lot of folks happy, just not me. Once again, is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with Dr. Ashley Payne from the U of M's Climate and Space Sciences and Engineering Program. And you mentioned something important, that La Nina is changing, and that's directly related to climate change. How has climate change impacted the phenomena of La Nina?
Well, so with La Nina, this is definitely an area of active research. La Nina is something that people are tapping into as far as, kind of has a memory. So you can start to do possibly these kind of longish term forecasts. What we're actually seeing, though, a lot of research is focusing more on the other phase, so El Nino. And there is some potential that we see, kind of a change in the characteristics of El Nino with climate change. So it's, it's kind of a tricky, again, going back to this puzzle thing, it's tricky because you're disentangling kind of these natural modes of variability. And then you're also looking at the influence of climate change, anthropogenic climate change on top of that. So it gets a little tricky there.
Obviously, there's a lot of research still to be done on that. But in your years of research and work, have you been able to directly see the impacts of climate change on weather and patterns and the kinds of events that we're experiencing?
Sure. So, unfortunately, I do most of my research along the West Coast. I look at these things called atmospheric rivers. And so we do actually see the influence of climate change on these atmospheric rivers. These are basically these corridors of intense moisture transport in the lowest part of the atmosphere. And they're actually the source of a lot of the rain and snowpack that fall along California. But they're found globally. What we do find is that they are they're becoming more intense in terms of the amount of moisture. But we also see in certain regions, we see shifts in their location. So, in the southern hemisphere, we actually see a poleward shift in their location. That has huge implications when it comes to, if you have a population that really relies on this for their water, that's not good, right? So, we do see these impacts on weather extremes.
So you have pointed out that the only certainty is uncertainty when it comes to weather. But as the modeling is being done, both shorter and longer term, do we have any clear idea of how Michigan Great Lakes region weather will change over the coming years?
Yes, no, we do see definite trends. So we do see an increase in the temperature in this region. We also see a decrease in the lake ice over the Great Lakes, you know, and in terms of things, you know, meteorological extremes like heat waves, we do see trends in that as well. So it's, you know, there is evidence there. It's, you know, kind of these bigger questions when you're talking about these climate scales that, you know, you have to take a lot of things into account.
Well, our time together today is wrapping up, but on the personal note, I got the impression you're a bigger fan of the sun and warmer weather than the winter weather and snow.
Yes, I'm actually from Texas, so...
I get it.
I'm not looking forward to a blizzard.
Well, I'm a hibernator for sure. So enjoy your winter, and perhaps when we get back out of doors, we'll get together in May or June and have another conversation.
That would be great.
That is Dr. Ashley Payne. Dr. Payne is an assistant professor in climate and space sciences and engineering at the University of Michigan and our guest on Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner and is heard each Wednesday. For more information on today's show with Dr. Payne and to access the archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1, Ypsilanti.